Let's turn quickly to Luke chapter 11. Providentially, as we're studying through prayer, we're coming across a text in Luke where Christ teaches us a pattern of prayer. We'll be reading from verses 1 through verse 13. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So there's 3 sections to the text that we just looked over. One, with what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, is teaching us how to pray, what to pray for. The next section is about persistence in prayer as a means to the effectiveness of prayer. And then we read about God's answers to prayer being good. The idea that we understand earthly fathers to provide things that are for the good of their children. And so, we should expect that what God the Father provides to those who believe the gospel should not be viewed as bad, but rather as a good gift. He doesn't give us serpents and scorpions. He provides us what is good. Now, in the text about the Lord's Prayer, I want to contrast the text here with the text in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. In Luke, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's the same. But in Matthew, when we get to the verse about bread, right, it says, Give us this day our daily bread. Whereas in Luke, it says, Give us day by day our daily bread. When it says, And forgive us our sins in Luke, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. In Matthew, it says, And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Furthermore, at the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, there is an argument. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That is not present in the text in Luke. John Gill, a famous and great Baptist expositor of the text, points out that one of the benefits of having these two different versions of the Lord's Prayer is we notice, if we look at the context, in Luke, this prayer is given at the request of his disciples. They say, "Can you teach us to pray?" Whereas in Matthew, it's in the midst of other teaching. In Luke, we are shown that the difference between the two allows us to see this as a pattern of prayer. It is a prayer, but it's also a pattern of prayer. And it helps us to understand that when we pray, we can use different wording to communicate the same ideas to God and to make requests. And so, when we look at, for example, the difference regarding the forgiveness of sins, forgive us our sins versus forgive us our debts, sins create the debt. Right? So in one, we understand that we're talking about the debt from sin. And in the other, we're talking about our sin, which is the cause of the debt. And so we can pray about each piece in the chain. And then, in Matthew, there are arguments that follow after in reference to authority, right? Kingdom, which has to do with the right to rule. Power, which has to do with the ability to rule. And glory, being the cause, the ultimate end that's sought. And this helps to point the difference out to us between the purpose of the books of Matthew and Luke, which we've talked about in the past. Matthew focuses on the kingship of Christ, and Luke focuses on the priestly office of Christ. A king provides and protects, he rules and subdues. A priest offers sacrifice and prayer. And in Matthew Henry's commentary on Luke, he points out that Luke focuses on prayer more than any other of the Gospels. We would expect this. As we've talked about before, it also focuses on the details of priestly action more. And so we would expect to see a focus on sacrifice and sin, and we would expect to see a focus on prayer, which we do. And so these arguments for authority not being present in the text in Luke, right, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," is, I believe, in the providence of God, intended to help us to focus on the priestly work of Christ. Now, the idea of the forgiveness of sins, let's remember, debt and sin go well together because sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Sin is established by the law of God. And the penalties for sin are established by the law of God. The sin debt that we have, we are told in Romans, the wages of sin is death. And so, this debt that we owe our lives to God. But the problem is, being born in sin, we are spiritually dead, we have no life to offer. And so we need a substitute. And we understand that Christ came to pay as a substitute the price of sin in our place by his death, and also to fulfill the law in our stead so that we could be accounted righteous. And so that language of debt and sin goes well, and the problem that some people see in the difference between the Luke text and the Matthew text as regards sin or debt, I see no problem with. I seem well connected. Now, one other point that I want to make about the Lord's Prayer in terms of major structural things that cause debate. The text that says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us," or as it says in Matthew, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This is used in the Roman Catholic Church state to argue that we have to forgive others as a condition for the forgiveness of our own sins. But this is contrary to the gospel, contrary to scripture in many places. Rather, we are empowered and encouraged to forgive others because of the forgiveness that we offer. We are offered. Forgive me. We are empowered and encouraged to forgive others because of the forgiveness that we have been given. Furthermore, if we remember first the forgiveness that we have from God, it reminds us of the hypocrisy of failing to forgive others or seeking to hold on to vengeance as our own. We, again, in our series on prayer, are going through the details of the petitions and will. For the sake of time, I will again simply remind of the texts following after this, what the basic point is to be drawn out of it. The Lord's Prayer teaches us as a pattern how to pray and what to pray for. The section in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, teaches us about the importance of persistence in prayer. Right, this story about a neighbor going to his neighbor's house in order to obtain something that's needed, right, bread. And we've just been taught to pray for our daily bread. So you can see an easy parallel of the specific thing asked for. The thing needed is asked for. And then, if the condition of friendship is insufficient to cause the man to act to help his friend, the condition of bothering, apparently, will cause the man to act in support of his friend. And this seems odd, right? We think about God, we think, well, God, out of the overflow of his love toward us, out of the fact that he's adopted us as sons, the fact that we are justified in Christ, we would think that that would be what the argument should proceed out of. But it proceeds out of the idea that if you bother your neighbor, then your neighbor will eventually help you with the thing you're asking for. Now, I don't think that we can take this and say that God doesn't want to help us, and if we bother him enough, he will. But what we can do is say that the point of persistence is being emphasized here in a memorable and odd way by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's helping us to see that if we are persistent in prayer, then God will reward that persistence, not as a meritorious thing, right? All of our prayers are in the name of Christ. But this is the means. This causes the prayers to be more effectual in the form of providing to us the thing that we ask for, the good that we desire. And lest we should think that because of the need of persistence in prayer might imply that God does not love us or does not give us what we need or what is for our good, Christ follows after that, giving the example of earthly fathers. They don't give stones to their children who ask for bread. They don't give serpents to their children who ask for fish. And they don't give scorpions to their children who ask for eggs. And rather, we should remember that we who are evil provide good gifts. And God who is good will provide good gifts. So let me leave you with the admonition and encouragement that the Lord Jesus Christ provides us. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Let's pray.